Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Hey everyone, no calls this week, but we did get a question in via social media from Nick P. in Montana. Could you guys recommend some scary shows available on streaming? I am going to pull a pretty classic John move and probably just say stuff that we've said before a lot, because I am not a trendsetter as far as horror TV is concerned. I'm very much a late adopter. I always like falling back on American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I actually went back and started watching Hotel again.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that season. I think Hotel might be my favorite season. Dennis O'Hara is fantastic. I think he won a Golden Globe for it that year, too.
Oh, wow.
Castle Rock. I really like the first season. I haven't watched the second season. Have you seen the second season?
I haven't, no. I was going to, but honestly, they put us through it on the first season, so I needed a break.
Yeah, that was a lot. Then, like, you know, Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, Channel Zero, Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
All stuff that we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. So I need you to tell the listeners other ones, good ones.
Sure, sure. No, you gave some really great recommendations. I'm going to say the French series, Marianne. That series scared the crap out of me.
That's right. You and Megan talked about that a lot. Because yeah. Was it canceled?
It only had, well, they said it was canceled, but I mean, I think all it needed was one season. I'm not going to lie. Uh-huh. I was feeling kind of greedy and I wanted more, but they wrapped it up very, like, awesomely.
It's like Watchmen, which I know we've said before, where it's like, don't do a second season. Mm-hmm. Please don't. I really love the idea of people just getting these really great stories done in one season.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be wrapped up. Mm-hmm. It's just the end of the story. Like,
I agree.
I more of that.
I remember you mentioning Watchmen, and I watched it because a friend recommended it. And that show is so good. I mean, of course you want more, but like you said, the story, they wrapped it up. So it's just like, what more do you need? Like, it was just every episode so good, but yeah.
And I was a huge fan of the graphic novel before even like the Zack Snyder movie came out, which I was also a fan of the Zack Snyder movie. I know it was took certain liberties. I was never a big fan of the giant octopus monster in the book. I always thought it was kind of silly. I always thought it made more sense in the movie.
Yeah.
But what they did with the TV series and the octopuses, I'm like, that's so good.
It was.
That is so much more realistic, or not realistic, but like effective than I would have expected.
I watched it back to back. So I watched the movie first and then I watched the series. And I kind of prefer the series over the movie.
I do. Yeah. For sure.
Really good.
The acting across the board is just so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably my favorite. He's a writer on Lost and not JJ.
Not J.J. Abrams.
No. There's another. He's associated with Lost and a lot of J.J. Abrams projects that I haven't really necessarily been a big fan of him in the past. But The Watchmen is so good.
Okay.
So, not necessarily horror. Kind of. there's definitely some stuff involving Jeremy Irons' character, whose name is
I forgot his name.
Ozymandias.
Yeah.
There's some horrific stuff involving him that you kind of find out about.
That was ridiculous.
It's so good. The big picture of that series is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, anything else? Sorry. Down a Watchmen rabbit hole.
Okay, so Marianne's on Netflix. There's only one season. Also, I'm a big fan of the Slasher series. So the first season to the third season is on Netflix, and each season is completely different. And then season four my favorite. Flesh and Blood, that one is on Shudder. It's very disturbing, gory images. It's everything. And then another one, Kingdom. It's a Korean zombie show that's actually set, like, it's like a period drama type of thing, but there's zombies and there's terror and there's blood and there's, I don't know, there's just, it has everything that I love, especially zombies. And then the last one, Haunted from 2018. This is another one that's on Netflix. And I'm sorry, Kingdom's on Netflix as well. So this is kind of like a, you know, docuseries. So it's like real life horror stories. People are saying what happened to, explaining what happened to them. And they kind of do some reenactments. And it's pretty terrifying, some of the things that people deal with. And people are still like, there are some people who it happened to them as a child or a teenager. Mm-hmm. They still live with it. So that if you want some real life terror, I highly recommend that one. And that one's on Netflix as well.
Yeah, the actual trauma that's involved in a horror movie. It's like, oh, they weren't just fine. Oh, okay. They didn't just get away from Jason and live happy lives. Okay.
You hear about that. It's heartbreaking. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. It's really heavy, but honestly, it's very it's interesting.
Speaking of really heavy but interesting, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John, and Megan's gone.
No, Megan.
I know. She is living the rock and roll lifestyle of the lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting at the Toronto International Film Festival.
We miss our Megan Bobegan.
Yes. So when she comes back, I promise we haven't forgotten about the live show. We will be doing that at some point. We just need to get everyone actually in, quote unquote, the same virtual space so that we can do that. So right into it. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the two of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So you know, it's been filling your heart this week.
Barbarian.
it was everything that Megan said it was.
Literally everything. And you know, Megan truly is my horror sister because she's absolutely right. I love that movie. It is one of the best horror movies that I've seen this year. Wow. I go in blind, mute everything. I muted everything, like on Twitter, on social medias, because I didn't want anything spoiled. And then right after I checked it out, I went on Instagram, on our Instagram stories, and I had to tell people, like, it's insane. Seriously.
I am so busy, but I feel like I need to find some time for this. About how long? Is it like 90 minutes, 2 hours?
It's about 90 minutes, I believe. I believe so. But honestly, John, like, I know, like, we're always giving you recommendations. Like, hey, check it out. I highly, highly recommend that you check it out. Like,
maybe I just need to put in a long work day this week so I can give myself a little treat on Thursday or something.
You deserve nice things. You really do.
Aw, thank
you.
Yeah,
seriously, not what I imagined at all. And I'm not going to say anything else because I feel like it's the type of movie, just watch it. Please avoid spoilers. Like, I mean, I did hear from a friend that it was spoiled for him because of Twitter. And I muted it immediately. So, but you're not on Twitter like that, so.
No, I am way far off Twitter, very happily so. And I think I had another horror movie spoiled for me, but like I had The Sixth Sense spoiled for me.
Oh, no.
So I was like, wow, this is a completely different viewing experience when I know exactly what I'm going to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will definitely have to avoid that. I want to see if I can see it this week. I know I said that about Nope, too, but I feel like especially, I don't remember there being like this really big, like, no spoilers, like, like going blind with Nope. It was just kind of like, oh no, it's a Jordan Peele thing. Just like, go see it.
Yeah.
So I feel like with both you and Megan saying like, just go.
Yeah.
Not going to tell you anything. Just go. Like, don't listen to anyone else.
Just go. And it's like both movies, Nope, and not that you're saying this, but both movies, Nope, Barbarian, are both really good. But it's like, Nope is kind of like how you interpret something. You know, this one, they don't care about your feelings. So, okay. Yeah. All right, moving on. The other thing I checked out, I had a crazy work week and I needed comfort and love. So I checked out, I rewatched this movie. It's a horror comedy, Step Monster, from 1993 on YouTube. 12-year-old Todd has an imagination driven by comic books. So when he accuses his soon-to-be stepmother of being a monster, no one believes him. When the neighbors start turning up dead, it becomes a race against time for Todd to stop this hideous creature from marrying his dad and ruining his life. So just as it sounds, the movie opens up, we meet this kid named Todd, and we meet his dad and his mom. His dad's name is George, the mom name is Abby, and the dad's an architect. So they are on vacation, but the dad's still working, so he has to show this he's meeting a client, and the client, her name is Denise Gore. And she wants to build a house in the middle of the woods. Like, I would have been alarmed by her last name, but the fact that she wanted to be in the middle of the woods, like, girl, why? What do you have planned? You know, anyway, fast forward. Todd, he's exploring the woods. He finds, like, these footprints of a, and he says that it's a monster footprint. Like, it's called a Totopian, I think it's called. And then, obviously, once again, nobody believes him. No one ever believes him. So then, out of the blue, just before they leave on vacation or they go back home, the mom vanishes in the woods. 6 months later, no one found the mom. They stopped looking. They didn't find a body. George, the dad, he decides to marry Denise, the woman who wants to build the house in the woods. It's ridiculous. It's like he is not only a horrible dad, but he's a horrible human because he didn't care about his wife. He just moved right along. He moved the woman into their house. They're selling the house. And then he even told his son, Todd, like, this is your new mom. It's like, dude, what is this? The 50s? Whatever. Meanwhile,
classy.
Very classy, right? Meanwhile, Denise is just eating everybody in the neighborhood with no care in the world. But for some reason, only Todd notices. Nobody else notices. They don't hear anybody screaming in the night. And it has like a really cool cast. So Todd does try to like stop, Denise and stuff like that. And with the help of his neighbor, Wendy, who's played by Amy Dolenz, and her boyfriend, Flem, and he's played by Corey Feldman. And pretty cool thing. His dad, played by, well, George, is Alan Thicke, which, you know, I love seeing him on screen. Geez. Yeah. It's very silly. The plot is cheesy, but it's a lot of fun and it's entertaining. It's lighthearted. And if you like monsters and 90s monsters and gore and fun stuff like that, I recommend this one. The last time I checked this movie out, it was back in 1993. I remember I was six and I watched it and it was a good time. So yeah, I recommend this one. And again, it's free on YouTube.
Well, yeah. So you have no excuses.
Exactly.
And who doesn't want to see Alan Thicke and Corey Feldman in a monster movie?
Love seeing them both on screen.
I watched the movie you recommended for me, Alone With You, on Shudder. As a young woman painstakingly prepares a romantic homecoming for her girlfriend, their apartment begins to feel more like a tomb when voices, shadows, and hallucinations reveal a truth she's been unwilling to face. All right, why this one?
Because I thought that you might like it. It surprised me. It's a nice little indie film. And it kind of creeps me out.
I hate to break it to you, Zena. But this is a really great movie.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say I hated it.
I know. I couldn't do it. It's a layup. It feels like every time you guys recommend a movie, I like it. And which mostly is because I'm open-minded or I can kind of see the point of view that you're going for. This is just a really simple but very, very effective movie. Yes. I had a really good time with this one. I turned it on, like I said, like I just I've been working a lot, so more often than not I can't have movies on in the background like I usually do because I'm listening to audio and things like that or recording. Right. And I was like, okay, well, I gotta listen to these because I know I'm gonna be out of town, or watch these because I know I'm gonna be out of town. And pretty quickly I was like, oh, I can't just have this one on in the background. Like I have to watch what's going on because there's a lot of little subtle things that start happening, and as soon as there's like a little movement in the background, I was like, okay, I guess I gotta watch. And they play it so well. There's so many like background moments that aren't treated as jump scares at all. They're just things that are happening where you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, that's just really creepy. It's very much like The Vigil for me. where it's not the focus, but there's stuff going on and you don't quite get to figure out what's going on and you kind of have an idea of what's going on and maybe you'll be right, maybe you won't. I was off. Like, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't so far out of left field where I was like, I can't believe that's what it was.
Right, right.
And it's really good. The acting is, she is so good.
Emily Bennett. Yeah, her and her boyfriend, well, they might be engaged, Justin Brooks, they directed it together. And then Emily also stars in it. And they are just such a power couple. I was blown away by her performance. Like, there's a particular, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll know what I'm talking about. The particular part where she's just like yelling. Right.
Yeah.
It gave me chills. Like, it was
It's so good. Yeah. That moment in general, in particular, that I was like, but what the hell is going on? Like, now I'm totally lost.
Yeah.
But I'm in. Like, I bought the ticket. I'm taking the ride. Like, I just want to know. And it kind of want to power through to get to the end. It's not a long movie. It's like 80 minutes.
Yeah. Super short.
But it's just like, okay, but what's going on? What's going on? And it's like, it's very simple premise or concept.
Yeah.
Like, it really just exists within one, like, duplex or, like, multi-layered or level apartment. And, oh, and Barbara Crampton's in it. Barbara Crampton's excellent in it.
Yes.
Oh, does she play the worst person? We're like, oh, people like that exist, and that is horrible.
You know it. You know it. Like, can you imagine, like, she plays her mother and your mother's just calling you. You think it's going to be a simple conversation, but the way she picks at her.
Oh, just makes you feel guilty about just being you. Oh, terrible. But so, yeah, high recommend. Alone with You on Shudder.
So glad that you liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. It's simple. It's psychological. There's a lot of, like, stuff to, like, keep your eyes kind of glued to the screen. Great performances. Yeah. Yeah. High recommend.
Love it. And then also, too, this a little fun fact. Obviously, you probably knew they filmed it during, like, the pandemic, like the height of the pandemic. So just the fact that they did that, it's just, they're just so great. Like, looking forward to more of their films.
So I didn't know that. It makes perfect sense, given the concept. So I would actually have to say that this is my favorite pandemic movie then.
Wow.
Because I've watched a few movies that were filmed during the pandemic and they got around it, obviously, like Host and things like that, and an untitled horror movie. But this one is the best.
It's so this good, one, yeah.
Because in no way, shape, or form would I have watched it. I mean, knowing that it was released in 2021, like, sure, it makes sense. But I wouldn't watch and say, oh, this is how they got around quarantine, because this movie could have been made
exactly
whenever. Like, it didn't make any difference. It's just, it was, and they did it so effectively.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yay.
And I didn't watch Megan's movie for two reasons. One, Megan's not here to talk about why, although I'm sure I can figure out why. And two, it's a reader, and like I said, I just did not have time to sit and read a movie because it's Swedish. I started watching the beginning of it. Starts pretty awkward. And I get the feeling, I did watch the trailer. I get the feeling it's not going to get less awkward and uncomfortable with these kids.
It's a very uncomfortable movie.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it's going to be going that way. So that'll be an interesting watch for me this week.
Awesome.
Instead, I watched one that I saw pop up on HBO. And I watched the trailer and I'm like, this is right up my alley. It was 2021's We're All Going to the World's Fair on HBO. Alone in her attic bedroom, teenager Casey becomes immersed in an online role-playing horror game, wherein she begins to document the changes that may or may not be happening to her. This is not going to be for everyone, by any means. It's very simple. It's fairly slow-paced. But the way I would describe this is this might be one of the best examples of a creepypasta turned into a movie. And it's not a specific creepypasta. It's more like the idea of, so, like, are you familiar? Do you remember hearing about, like, the Blue Whale game?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. It's like that.
Okay.
Where the concept is like, it's supposed to be this thing where you start and like, there's this progressive downward spiral of your personality. Strange things start to happen, etc. So it's kind of watching Casey's kind of like descent, as well as kind of like some interactions that are going on. Kind of slow pacing, but for me it worked because it reminds me of one of my favorite creepypastas called Necrosleep. And it just felt, there was this great just isolated feeling to it, where her as being you can't even call her a YouTube personality, because like it says like she has like 200 subscribers or 100 subscribers or something, and when she posts a video it says how many watches they have, and her videos have like 60 watches or 70 watches. So I like the twist that it's not some big personality, and then they post a video and it's got a million views. It's just this person who's posting videos about themselves who seems really lonely. And some people are watching, some people aren't. But it starts to get to some pretty disturbing looking stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you're still kind of left wondering what happened. Which works, again, works for me. Feels very creepypasta, like a classic creepypasta. At the same time, I could see someone watching it and being like, what did I just watch? Or that unfortunate voice. It's like, I want my time back.
Oh, no.
First of all, knock it off. Yeah. Like, you don't get it back. That's not how movies work. People are so weird.
They are.
It's a movie. And it might have been free. And you just watched it. And it's like, okay, you could have turned it off. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. So, I get it. It's not going to be for everyone. It's very paced. It's more psychological than anything else, but almost like watching a descent into madness ish. I liked it, but I also like the non-handholding stuff a little bit more, where it's like you're not specifically telling me what I'm supposed to think about what's going on. And as a person who's immersed in creepypastas as I am, it just felt good to see that kind of representation, because I haven't liked a lot of creepypasta representation that is, oh, that's not right to say. Not that I haven't liked it. It's that I didn't feel like they were faithful adaptations to what creepypastas are. And this is also a good example of like, so can creepypastas be faithfully adapted? I don't know. I don't know if a mass audience is going to be interested in watching faithful adaptations of this stuff. But, you know, like if you love Channel Zero, like, sure, I wouldn't call those faithful adaptations. I don't want to talk about Slender Man for, you know, reasons. And yeah, so if you're curious, check it out. But know going into it, it's going to be pretty niche, I think. I think the acting is fantastic. I think the lead actress, I think it's her debut performance. I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
Again, I should have written it down. I'm so terrible at that. I watch things and I talk about them like, I don't know who did it, but it was good.
No, you know, I just added that one to my list on HBO Max. So that's what they added it on there. I've been hearing about it all summer, you know, and you're right. It's been like mixed. Like, there are people who are just completely for it, and then people, they weren't really feeling it too much. So I don't know. I'm curious about it. And I'm positive that like the performances are going to be like incredible. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I think it'll be a lot like the terms like, Outland. Is it Outland or Outlander? Whatever. Me and Megan watched it, the found footage movie. Like, I've seen both sides of that, where that's like 5-star, unbelievable. Like, me and Megan loved it. And other people are like, this is horrible. It's like, yeah, I get it. I get that too. Because it's not traditionally what you're used to looking at in a movie. And some people are going to like it and appreciate it. And some people are going to be like, I don't like it. This isn't my thing. And that's cool. That's entertainment. That's how it works. Okay.
Nice.
Before we move on, what did we watch and how do we watch it?
So I watched Barbarian in theaters, thanks to Megan, highly recommending it. And then I also checked out Step Monster from 1993 on YouTube.
And I watched Alone with You on Shudder, thanks to you, Zena. And we are all going to the World's Fair on HBO. All right. Do you have homework for me for next week?
I do, if you would like it.
All right. No readers, though. I'm actually going to say that to Megan, too. No more readers until after October.
Okay. I was actually going to recommend The Omen from 1976. Because you said last week.
Because
that you
almost watched it anyway.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect. Yeah. That's on Amazon right now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on Amazon. It's on HBO Max. It's on Hulu.
Okay, good. See, I'm checking off movies that I should have seen like 2 years ago or 20 years ago.
It's okay. Then you'll get the, you know, it's all for you, Damien.
That oh, I know what that's. Okay. I get that. I know a lot of the movie. I just haven't seen the movie.
Okay, so I'm curious your thoughts on it. All right, awesome.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for both Xena and I to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in World of Horror.
Yeah.
So I'll start out with Hellraiser, the new image of Jamie Clayton as Pinhead. Mm. Sense8 actress Jamie Clayton takes over the role as Pinhead in Hulu's franchise Reimagining, which is set to unleash pain and pleasure exclusively on Hulu October 7th. This one, I have to assume that you've seen pictures of the new Pinhead.
Yes, I have. Oh, she looks incredible.
She really does. And if I remember, I have to go back and read it again, but I vaguely remember Hellbound Heart actually was a female antagonist. Mm. I can't remember if her head was full of pins, but I'm almost positive it was she was female.
I'm not too sure.
A female Cenobite. Yeah, I have to go back and read it. It's very Clive Barker-esque. It's very psychosexual, blending or blurring the lines between sexuality and pain and fetishism and everything else. I'm really curious. David Bruckner, who directed The Night House, Dark Trio approved.
Yes.
And who also did The Ritual, which is also one of those movies. The more I watch it, the more I think The Ritual is just unbelievable. I used to just like the first half. And now the whole thing, like front to back, I'm like, it's so
perfection
good.
To me. It is. It's still like no matter how many times I watch, I still get that creeped out feeling.
Yeah, this I'm really looking forward to it. I know that Doug Bradley has come out and basically said like, yeah, this is great, like which I always appreciate. Sometimes you see people take the helm and the originator kind of being like, eh.
Yeah.
Like they're not necessarily for it, which I always kind of feel like is just sour grapes. Like, well, at some point, I know that there's a lot of artists that want to think that the thing that they created or the thing that they popularized is going to stand the test of time.
Right.
And I think in a lot of ways, Doug Bradley's Pinhead is in his role, but it doesn't mean that someone else can't reimagine, someone else can't take the helm. It can't be gender swapped. It can't be whatever and have it be its own amazing thing. And I think when Megan first announced that this was going to happen, I was kind of like a Hellraiser TV series. Like, how are they going to, like, that seems like a strange franchise to make into a TV series. But I've been watching Freddy's Nightmares, so I can't really begrudge people for making a series.
I always thought that that one would have been about, like, the different Cenobites. If there was, like, a series, like, you know. But this one, like, the movie, I mean, from based on the synopsis, it sounds awesome. Like, And I feel like, you know, people also need to put some respect on the Hellraiser franchise. Yeah, it gets a little bit out of control, kind of similar to Children of the Corn, but it's still a good time.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't aware, the series revolves around a young woman struggling with addiction who comes into possession of an ancient puzzle box, unaware that its purpose is to summon the Cenobites, a group of sadistic supernatural beings from another dimension. Honestly, I know there's a lot of people who don't like the later Hellraiser movies, and they're not front to back great.
No,
but I still watch them. I don't have a problem with anything after four. Honestly, I always thought four was pretty strange, even within the Hellraiser universe. I mean, I you know, I've talked about Hellworld before, and because I'm a huge Lance Henriksen fan. But I've watched the other ones and I'm like, the bones to them are really solid. It's sometimes I think the editing or the execution just missed a little bit. But I mean, Scott Derrickson did one and I wish I could have seen his original director's cut of it. But
oh, for sure.
But yeah, I think it's honestly for as many movies as Hellraiser has had, I don't think it's doing so bad. I would still put it up there.
That's why I'm excited for this one. You know, it's not really like a remake or anything, you know, but it's to me, it's gonna, I've been hearing so many people talking about they went back to rewatch the franchise. So, mm-hmm. which I think is great, you know? So this is an exciting time for us.
It'll be really curious to see this, just the story being delved into more, because I know at least the later Hellraisers, they focused more on the concept of the Cenobites themselves. Mm-hmm. Especially the last one. Was the last one Dominion or Damnation or Revelation, I think?
Revelation.
And that was very Cenobite heavy. There wasn't a whole lot of plot to it. So, which wasn't bad. It was interesting to watch. It was very visually interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
No, it was Judgment.
Judgment, that was the last one. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll all revolve around police officers at some point or another. At least the later ones. It's strange. And then this one kind of confused me. Tusk 2. Kevin Smith confirms he's working on the sequel and teases wacky new approach. All right. First of all, Kevin Smith, calm down. A wacky new... What was wackier than Tusk?
Yeah,
there's a new wacky version. So during a new episode of Fat Man Beyond podcast, Kevin Smith confirmed he's actively developing a sequel to Tusk with Justin Long expected to return.
Yeah.
Now, those of you who have seen the original Tusk, interesting. That's an interesting step in Justin Long's career. Ever since the heart attack, I've been living on borrowed time, says Smith. 2024 will mark the 10-year anniversary of Tusk. We could just leave it there and move on, but you know, I've got more story left I'd like you to tell. There's a reason we left him in the zoo at the end. I always knew we were making the movie. Oh, I guess spoilers, but 10 years. Go watch Tusk.
Yeah, come on.
I always knew we were making a movie. I was just like, I totally do this again. I thought we'd have the late, great Michael Parks with us longer, but sadly he's not. But we got Justin. Yeah, Michael Parks is fantastic.
Yeah.
I discovered Michael Parks much later, largely thanks to Quentin Tarantino, like Dusk Till Dawn. And now I've seen him pop up in other things. Like, I forgot he was in Twin Peaks and things like that. I'm like, God, Michael Parks is good.
Yeah.
He is just a great character actor.
Loved him in Red State as well.
Yeah, he was really good in Red State. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes because Kevin Smith is attached, I think, unfortunately, a lot of actors don't necessarily get credit for their performances. And I think even he had said as much, because he decided to go a very like indie route, like even before crowdfunding with Red State. And, you know, I'm a big Kevin Smith Smodcast fan. His movies have been very hit or miss with me since I was about 18 years old.
Yeah.
And Tusk was okay. But I liked it more because I really liked the episode of the podcast that Tusk came out of. And if you watch the end of Tusk, they actually have like a little clip of that episode. I highly recommend finding it. I don't know if it's a subscription or not. It's very funny. It's an amazingly funny podcast. I don't know about Tusk 2, but I'll be curious, because I know Kevin Smith is kind of... he's all about anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
He's all about having more stories to tell. Like, obviously, between the Clerks franchise and Jay and Silent Bob. Mm-hmm. And he was going to make a Mallrats sequel. And there's always more story to tell with Kevin Smith. And I don't know. I'll be curious. And without Michael Parks, Johnny Depp's role was so weird. But without Michael Parks, it makes me wonder what kind of movie it'll be.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We will. Well, oh, don't forget, he also kind of revealed the title.
Tusks. All right. Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like aliens, Tusks. I was hoping he would end up doing Moose Jaws. I thought he was going to do that. He was supposed to have this True North trilogy where he was going to do Tusks, Yoga Hosers, and then Moose Jaws, which is Jaws with a moose. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. That was the one that was most intriguing to me. Yoga Hosers, I listened to the podcast where that came out of too, and I don't know how that movie came out of that episode of the podcast, but holy crap. What else is going on in the news, Zena?
Oh, okay. So I may butcher the name. So sorry. Soman Chanini's debut novel, The School for Good and Evil, which was published in 2013, launched a franchise. It is getting a movie over at Netflix. And Paul Feig, he directed Ghostbusters Last Christmas. He's in the director's chair. So apparently this is going to be coming out next month, October 19th on Netflix. And you can check out some of the images on Bloody Disgusting. So the film will follow two best friends, Sophie and Agatha. I was going to say Agatha. What kind of name is that? It's Agatha. who finds themselves on opposing sides of an epic battle when they're swept away into an enchanted school where inspiring heroes and villains are trained to protect the balance between good and evil. The cast alone is amazing. Charlize Theron, Kerry Washington, Lawrence Fishburne, Michelle Yeoh, Kate Blanchett, Sophia Ann Caruso, Sophia Wiley, Rachel Bloom, Rob Delaney, Marquis, and so much more. The cast. So if you like supernatural schools, it looks very lighthearted. I don't think that it's going to be like scary or super. I mean, well, you know, it depends on who you are. I don't think it's going to be like bloody or gory, but it looks like it's still going to be a really good time. Then also, you guys like demons? You like demons, Sean?
I like a good demon. Like a good demon knight.
Okay. Okay. Well, James Wan, he posted about, it was like a week and a half ago, he posted a picture of a demon on his Instagram that he never used. So he noted in the past that Valak almost did not make it into The Conjuring 2. So within the last final hour, they replaced this demon, and then that's how we have Valak.
Yep.
So basically,
Valak.
Thank you, Valak. Who is that? Thank you. So
that's going to be in Conjuring 4.
Okay. Cool. People will probably just like, get out of here. We want Megan. Look, guys,
this
we're
is
doing
what happens
our best.
When Megan's not here.
But yeah, we have. You could check out some of the demon footage on his Instagram, and Bloody Disgusting also posted it. But basically, this demon looked so cool. Like, it has like wings, and it looks like hideous, but it's kind of like pretty, you know. Sure. But yeah, they kind of put like this puppet head on it, and like the teeth move. And basically, the person who composed the movie, his name is Justin Riley, he's in that costume for them. So I don't know, I just love seeing behind the scenes stuff like that. And you know, don't get me wrong, like the original demon that we received in the film, Nightmare Fuel. But this one is also Nightmare Fuel too. So if you like demons and you like checking stuff out and having a good time, check it out.
Yes, bloodydisgusting.com. Those pictures are there.
Yes.
All right, listeners, your turn. Need all the psychosexual themes in your life? Well, you might be listening to the wrong podcast. Wonder how a studio wouldn't let James Wan shoehorn that demon in? Call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com and tell us why you love Megan specifically for the news segment.
We went down so many rabbit holes.
Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Okay, we have a good amount of things that's coming out. But first, Bloody Disgusting TV is always available for you to check out. You can also check out Screenbox. Check it out. So first, Wednesday, the 14th, we have The Retaliators. It will only be in theaters for one day. An upstanding pastor uncovers a dark and twisted underworld as he searches for answers surrounding his daughter's brutal murder. If you love like metal music, this movie may be the one for you. Based on the names alone of all the artists that's involved, hands down, I plan on checking it out ASAP. So be like me. Next, on Thursday, the 15th, we have two movies that's coming to Shudder. First one, we have Speak No Evil. A Danish family visits a Dutch family they met on holiday. What was supposed to be a great weekend slowly starts to unravel as the Danish family tries to stay polite in the face of unpleasantness. I heard that this one is pretty mean. So heads up.
I think I've heard the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one sounds good.
Then we also have hitting Shudder as well. We have Peter Strickland's black comedy Flux Gourmet. So this one is set in an institute devoted to culinary and elementary performances. A collective finds themselves embroiled in power of struggles, artistic vendettas, and gastrointestinal disorders. Yeah, so this one sounds insane. Then we have on Friday the 16th, we'll finally be able to check out Ty West's slasher Pearl.
It's Pearl amazing how quickly that came out.
Right? And according to dear Megan, she said that Ty West filmed it right after X. Mm. So that's why. This is awesome. So the story of how Pearl became the vicious killer seen in X. So cannot wait to see this. Then we also have on Friday, if you don't want to go out to the theaters, we have the black comedy Do Revenge hitting Netflix. Drea and Eleanor agrees to go after one another's bullies. So this one stars Camila Mendez. She plays Veronica in Riverdale. This also stars Maya Hawke. She's Robin in Stranger Things. And Sophie Turner. She played Sansa on Game of Thrones. So this one looks like it'll be like a good time. Then we also have Goodnight Mommy on Prime Video. So twin brothers arrive at their mother's house and begin to suspect that something isn't right. So this is the remake of the 2014 Austrian film. I don't know if you're
Which is haunting.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. I'll just.
No
spoilers. Okay.
No.
Then we have on Monday the 19th, Ruben Galindo Jr.'s Cemetery of Terror. So he's the guy who directed Don't Panic. He's the one where the boy was running around in the dinosaur pajamas. Yeah. So this is a Mexican slasher that follows a group of medical students on Halloween who steals the corpse of a serial killer from the morgue, and they raise him from the dead, and then he puts everybody in danger, including some kids in the neighborhood. This movie is insane, and there's mullets, so you'll want to check it out. You'll want to check it out. Then we have on Tuesday the 20th, if you like mockumentary horror, you may want to check out When the Screaming Starts on Screambox. When Norman Graysmith is invited to the home of an aspiring serial killer, Aiden Mendel, he thinks he found the subject of a documentary that will save his failing career. So this one looks like it's a good time. I actually do plan on checking this one out because it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Then we also have, this is the last one, we have To the Moon. This one will be available on VOD. A weekend of healing for Denise and Mia becomes a nightmare when Dennis's estranged brother arrives and begins to distort their sense of reality. And just in case if you missed it, Barbarian is in theaters. Megan approved. I approve. It's, whoa.
I look forward to the day where I can sit here and not have words to describe it as well.
Seriously, if I was not like a spoiler person, I just wanted to I'm not, but I would still, there's no words. Like if we ever were to do like a breakdown, I don't know what to say, you know? So, yeah, and clearly I talk a lot, so I feel like that says a lot. So I was in the theaters shook. Like, you know, normally you hear people talking, but then when stuff just started to go, everybody was silent. Because there were like four other people in the theater, so.
Oh. Still. Yeah. Amazing. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at BloodyDisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Xena. We miss Megan. Sorry.
Miss Megan. Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.